The Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to our continuing coverage of the COVID-19 health crisis. I'm Bill Price. Coronavirus relief. That's where we're starting today at noon.
The clock has run out. The buzzer is sounding.
Congress poised to pass a $2 trillion coronavirus relief package today. Both sides have been squabbling over the details of the plan to prop up the U.S. economy during this health crisis.
We don't have time for this.
Delay, delay, delay.
It includes a large corporate bailout.
But Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is confident the plan being floated today will get the final go-ahead tonight. Louisiana Republican John Kennedy says time is running out.
I think the American people right now are thinking that this country was founded by geniuses and it's being run by a bunch of idiots.
President Trump says it's time both sides put politics aside and pass the relief package. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
Today, the Senate has a chance to get back on track. Today, we can make all of the Washington drama fade away. If we act today, what Americans will remember and what history will record is that the Senate did the right thing.
And the market's responding favorably to news that a stimulus package could get done today. The Dow soaring in trading earlier this morning. Ending restrictions. That is the other big story at noon.
Our country wasn't built to be shut down.
Halfway through his 15-day social distancing plan, President Trump says it's time for America to get back to work.
If it were up to the doctors, they may say, let's keep it shut down. Let's shut down the entire world.
Saying the cure could be worse than the disease. Mr. Trump says plans are in place to reopen America in a matter of weeks, not months. Mr. Trump holding a virtual town hall meeting right now on the coronavirus crisis. Well, it is now official. The 2020 Summer Olympics have been postponed.
This is the first time that we've seen a delay in the Olympics ever.
That's Olympic historian David Walachensky. He says three Olympics were canceled during World War I and World War II, but this is the first time the games have been delayed. Walachensky says while it was the right move, there will be complications.
All those hotel rooms, all those flights that were booked, all the sponsors.
And when the games do resume next year in Tokyo,
there'll be an enormous amount of publicity. There'll be almost a celebration we survived.
Prime Minister Shinzo Abe says he reached an agreement with the International Olympic Committee today to delay the summer games because of the pandemic. States across the U.S. struggling to get much-needed safety equipment into the hands of those on the front lines of the coronavirus fight. This man works at a hospital in Walnut Creek, California.
I've seen nurses go home in tears because they feel like they've been exposed or potentially exposed to something here.
And at Valley View Hospital in Glenwood Springs, Colorado, first responders are making their own surgical masks. In Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis ordering anyone visiting the Sunshine State from New York to self-quarantine for 14 days.
You're going to have a group of people who are not going to comply and are going to put themselves first. And the fewer number of those there are, the better off we'll be.
The Real ID program, meantime, has been delayed indefinitely because of the coronavirus. President Trump says that program, which sets national standards on state-issued driver's licenses, will not take effect on October 1st as originally planned because of the pandemic. Overseas now, Brits woke up in lockdown today. Prime Minister Boris Johnson.
Without a huge national effort to halt the growth of this virus, there will come a moment when no health service in the world could possibly cope.
The virus spreading fastest in London, where this doctor works.
I'm having conversations with patients and with families of patients who are going to die, asking whether they want to die in hospital where we're currently not able to have visitors, or whether they want to die at home.
British police now enforcing the lockdown order. This chief says that means some tough choices.
As far as not only policing but everything is concerned, it's not business as usual. So the normal things that police officers would normally go to, we need to decide what it is we can't go to anymore.
Correspondent Vicky Barker says other countries struggling to get a handle on the pandemic.
In Italy, the pandemic may be slowing, but deaths climbing steeply in Spain, where police have found bodies in several nursing homes, old people who'd apparently been abandoned.
That's Vicky Barker reporting. Still to come this Tuesday, stay at home in Pennsylvania, job cuts at Corning, and the Great American Takeout.
Well, good afternoon to all. We're tracking our next weather maker. It'll bring rain and snow to Pennsylvania tomorrow, and maybe a bit of that into New York State as well. I'll be back with forecast details coming up shortly.
Thank you, Kevin. Checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. Tuesday, March 24th, Governor Cuomo says with the rate of infection doubling every 3 days in New York, the state will start testing an experimental drug today to treat the most severe patients.
New York has by far the greatest need in the nation.
The governor says the state has increased testing to the highest level in the country, and hospitals have got to make room for more patients while New Yorkers keep their patients amid this crisis.
There'll be some people who say, oh, this is too dire. We don't want this level of disruption. It's not going to be that bad. This is media hype. They are wrong.
And with nearly 100 confirmed cases now of the virus in Erie County in western New York, health officials there say it's only going to get worse.
We have not reached our peak yet. Every day we're seeing more and more cases, and there's no reason to believe, you know, even though we're not testing a large number of new people, that we have reached our peak.
That's Erie County Health Commissioner Dr. Gail Burstein. With the number of confirmed cases of COVID-19 spiking to over 700 in Pennsylvania, Governor Tom Wolf has ordered folks in Allegheny, Bucks, Chester, Delaware, Monroe, Montgomery, and Philadelphia counties to stay inside their home.
Most of us have not experienced a disruption in daily life of this type ever before. Our Commonwealth has not experienced a disruption of this magnitude in its supply chain since at least the Civil War.
Governor Wolf says folks living in the affected counties have to stay inside their homes unless someone's life depends on them leaving their home.
All of us need to take this situation seriously. We must act as soon as possible, and we must act decisively.
The stay-at-home order took effect last night. Governor Wolf says it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Before we can recover, we must survive.
Also last night, the governor extending the closed school order in Pennsylvania through at least April 6th. Tom Wolf says social distancing, the only way to save lives. Congress close to passing a $2 trillion coronavirus relief package. Local Pennsylvania Congressman Glenn Thompson says the measure is desperately needed to reboost the economy.
Number one, obviously, is getting resources to our families. Second part is really helping more testing. And then the third part really is about saving jobs.
In New York, meantime, the National Guard will be deployed to help during the health crisis. Southern Tier Congressman Tom Reed says he's okay with that.
They're a great resource. They're like our first responders, our law enforcement, our healthcare workers. They're part of this equation because there's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of fear out there. And the National Guard also delivers resources.
The Corning Republican says we've never witnessed anything like this in our country before, and any resource that can help save lives needs to be utilized. COVID-19 forcing job cuts at Corning.
At least 367 union employees, as well as an unknown number of non-union employees, have been laid off by Corning. The cuts reportedly include employees at the company headquarters, the Sullivan Park location, and at the Corning Museum of Glass. Corning says with all non-essential employees ordered to stay at home, some workers could not do their jobs remotely, which led to the layoffs. Those affected will be given a $1,500 payment in their next paycheck to help, and that money will not impact unemployment benefits. Facilities in New York will remain open after being deemed essential services by Governor Cuomo's office. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. Police across New York and Pennsylvania warning folks to be aware of some COVID-19 con artists out there.
This is just another way that they've looked as a prime opportunity to prey on people. It's especially concerning during this time because people are already fearful.
That's Craig DeMond. He's the sheriff in Delaware County, New York. He says folks pretending to be with the CDC or your local health department going door to door asking for your private information.
Maintain calmness. Keep your head collected. Use basic common sense. If it doesn't sound right, it's probably not right.
Authorities say you should never give out personal information to someone you don't know, whether it's someone at your door, over the phone, or online. The panic buying continues at the grocery store, too, as nervous consumers empty store shelves of everything from toilet paper to cleaning supplies.
We don't have anything to panic over. If we will all just remain calm, if we will go about our shopping and shop for shorter periods of time than perhaps some of us have been shopping, I think we're going to be just fine.
Leslie Saracen with the Food Industry Association of America says there's more than enough food to go around during this crisis.
What we've experienced is unprecedented in our industry. This overwhelming demand has slowed the process some, and it's going to take a little while for us to catch up.
Psychologist Dr. Laura Norris says hoarding, unfortunately, part of our nature.
The idea of stockpiling is a way to feel in control about a situation that feels out of control. It's a way to feel like I know no matter what happens, I will not run out of what I need.
The experts say if you're going to stock up, pick those foods that are going to last. Things like pasta or canned foods. The American Red Cross says the coronavirus has caused a severe blood shortage across New York and Pennsylvania. Spokesman Sean O'Sullivan says they usually hold blood drives at businesses, but they can't do that right now.
Because that we're all working from home right now, we're obviously not able to do that. This is where the Sleeves Up campaign comes from.
O'Sullivan says Sleeves Up is an online pledge folks take to find the nearest blood drive. Instead of the Red Cross going to you, O'Sullivan says folks go to them.
It's an online pledge that anybody can take. Once you make that pledge, you put in your zip code and you can find the nearest blood drive.
O'Sullivan says Red Cross workers are following thorough safety protocols. All potential donors get their temperature taken and beds are sanitized and spaced at least 6 feet apart. Pennsylvania lifting licensing regulations to get more nurses on the front lines in the fight against the coronavirus. Here's Family Life's Terry Diener.
Pennsylvania's Department of State announced the measure that hopes to bring some retired health care workers back to the field and keep the current ones in good standing. Certain measures, like temporarily extending license expiration dates and waiving fees for nurses across Pennsylvania, are now in effect. On top of this, the measure also gives more flexibility for 14,000 nurse practitioners to better serve the sick. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. Today has been dubbed the Great American Takeout. Restaurants across the country teaming up to get you to eat out. Coalition of eateries calling on everyone in the nation to order out today, some even offering deals and free delivery. The push comes as the restaurant industry struggles with the coronavirus pandemic. The experts say the crisis could cause 7 million people to lose their jobs over the next few months. As mentioned earlier, the Summer Olympics now on hold. Sunny Time, your 2-minute drill.
Thank you, Bill. Yeah, that big story, the Tokyo Olympics postponed until 2021, ending weeks of speculation that the Games could not go on ahead of this pandemic. The International Olympic Committee made the decision after speaking with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe and local organizers. The IOC said the Games will be held no later than the summer of 2021, but they'll still be called the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. Charles Barkley, the latest big-name celebrity to test negative for the coronavirus. The Naismith Hall of Famer announced 10 days ago he had been tested after getting sick. He announced yesterday that his results came back negative and thanked everyone for their support and concern. Barkley also encouraged people to take the necessary steps to ensure their safety. Same team, new colors. Los Angeles Rams rebranding as they prepare to move into the brand new SoFi Stadium this fall. The Rams unveiled the new logo and new colors yesterday. Very similar. It's Rams Royal Blue and Soul Yellow with the letters LA. The A swoops back in the form of a ram horn. Both the Rams and Chargers will begin to play at SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, California this season. According to ESPN, the NBA players and owners are hopeful to salvage the season. The players and owners reportedly want to pick up where they left off regardless. The league suspended play amid the ongoing crisis. Multiple players and employees have since tested positive, but the battle for MVP between Giannis Antetokounmpo and 35-year-old LeBron James, many people want to see. Some good news. Home is where the heart is. The Pirates may not be in Pittsburgh, but they're still thinking of the workers affected by this crisis. Yesterday, the players arranged to have 400 pizzas and pasta delivered to the staff at Allegheny General Hospital. And the New York Jets Jets are making a financial contribution. The team and the Johnson family are looking to make a $1 million joint donation to the United Way. It'll help families and individuals across multiple agencies. We're all in this together. This too shall pass. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphy.
You got that right. Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Tuesday edition of the Noon Report, coronavirus relief, lawmakers vote, the president promises, and the church responds.
So how do we show the love of Christ to people when we're told to stay away from them? For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. And we aren't the first Christ followers to face times of plague and pestilence. History tells of several devastating pandemics that swept Europe and the early days of Christianity. And during all of them, Christ followers distinguished themselves with a countercultural response. In the second century plague of Galen, the disease's namesake and Rome's foremost physician fled to his country estate to weather it out. Helpless before the onslaught of an unknown contagion, he and many others ran, hoping to save their own lives. During the third century plague of Cyprian, Dionysius, Bishop of Alexandria, wrote that the Romans pushed the sufferers away and fled from their dearest, throwing them into the roads before they were dead, treating unburied corpses as dirt. In both cases, however, Christians behaved differently. As sociologist Rodney Stark famously put it, they ran into the plague. Cyprian of Carthage, the bishop who gave his name to the third century outbreak, described the response from his fellow Christians. Heedless of the danger, he writes, followers of Christ took charge of the sick, attending to their every need and ministering to them in Christ. And with them departed this life serenely happy. Though these deaths likely seem pointless to many Romans, Stark argues in the book, The Triumph of Christianity, Christians may have decreased the death toll by administering basic nursing care to those strong enough to recover. In our most recent episode of the Breakpoint podcast, historian Glenn Sunshine talked with my colleague Shane Morris, not only about these plagues, but how Christians repeated this kind of response in all the pandemics that followed. Whether in Justinian's plague of the 6th century or the Black Plague of the 14th century, believers imitated Isaiah's description of Christ, who took on our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Now, what's clear is how our Christian forebears dealt with the plagues in their cultural moments. What's not as clear is what Christians today can do to square running into the plague in our cultural moment, one in which we are, given our dramatically increased knowledge of viruses and pandemics and how to handle them, being told to social distance in order to slow the spread of the coronavirus. Now, given that the sort of care Christians personally offered in the past is now widely available in hospitals and other places, and that by minimizing the risk to particularly vulnerable members of our community and churches so as not to overwhelm that system, a love of neighbor today will look a bit different, and it won't be served by martyr complexes. On today's podcast, Sunshine pointed to a letter by Martin Luther that helps us reconcile this dilemma. Addressing the question of whether one may flee from a deadly plague, the Reformer argued that all of us have the responsibility of warding off this poison to the best of our ability, because God has gifted humans with their bodies, and so too has gifted the medicines of the earth. Our duties to our neighbors and congregations, and if we're in healthcare, our patients, are best fulfilled in ways consistent with the expert medical advice. In other words, our principles need not change in order to love and serve our neighbor, but our behavior will. Glenn offers a few suggestions that we might put into practice today. Picking up groceries for shut-in neighbors, ensuring they have vital medications, and using technology to offer the kind of comfort that Christians in times past could only give in person. Please come to Breakpoint.org for today's podcast with Glenn Sunshine. And on Wednesday, we'll feature on the podcast a Christian who is creatively running into the plague in Colorado Springs today. While you're at Breakpoint.org, be sure to sign up for a special webinar with Ed Stetzer, who will tell us how Christians today are loving their neighbors in the midst of the coronavirus. Again, all of that at Breakpoint.org. That's Breakpoint.org. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
Coming up on 20 minutes past the hour this Tuesday afternoon, let's head outside. Here's Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The storm system that delivered rain and snow yesterday has departed, catching a break this afternoon. The next weathermaker is on the way for tomorrow. It'll pass south, bringing rain and snow to Pennsylvania, maybe grazing parts of New York with a bit of the same as well. Milder air, but showers as we head toward the weekend. The call for this afternoon, cloudy skies prevail, but those clouds will start to break in some areas for a little sunshine, with high temperatures ranging in the 40s for most. Then tonight, broken clouds, some starlight, low temps upper 20s to the mid-30s. Tomorrow, cloudy, periods of snow and rain in Pennsylvania. A bit of rain or snow perhaps in New York State with high temperatures in the mid-30s to the middle 40s. Milder Thursday, variably cloudy with a shower or two, and high temperatures in the 50s and lower 60s.
All right, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. If you're just joining us, here's the latest on the coronavirus health crisis. Tuesday, March 24th, lawmakers in Washington, D.C. could finalize that $2 trillion coronavirus relief package later today. Correspondent Nancy Cordes is on Capitol Hill.
Senators promise relief is on the way in the form of a bill that's growing so fast, no one knows just how much it costs.
$1.3 trillion roughly.
It's a $2 trillion piece of legislation.
Negotiations centered Monday night around a new $500 billion fund for loans to big industries. Democrats say there aren't enough rules to govern who gets what.
Arguing for transparency and accountability on the money that goes to any business, large or small, is not unreasonable.
Republicans want to pass the bill now. They say the delay is costing jobs.
Right now, Americans are losing hope.
The massive bill would provide up to 4 months of unemployment insurance at a worker's current salary. There's also $350 billion in loans for small businesses with incentives to retain their workers.
That's Nancy Cordes reporting from Capitol Hill this afternoon. Right now at the White House, President Trump hosting a virtual town hall meeting. He says it's time lawmakers put their differences aside and pass the coronavirus relief package.
This should not be a time for political agendas, but rather one for focusing solely and squarely on the needs of the American people.
News of a possible stimulus plan sent stocks soaring on Wall Street today. And last night at the White House, Mr. Trump said the coronavirus shutdown could be over in a matter of weeks, not months.
We're not going to let the cure be worse than the problem.
Halfway through his 15-day social distancing plan, the president says it is time for America to get back to work. The Summer Games in Tokyo have been postponed until next year. That news became official today. Team USA sprinter Manteo Mitchell took home a silver medal in the 2012 Summer Olympics. He says delaying this year's games was the right move.
I could possibly get this and not even know, especially with my immune system being as strong as it is. So, you know, I'm taking all the proper precautions that, you know, the CDC is putting out.
First-time Olympian Kate Courtney is a mountain biker who qualified for the Tokyo Games. She says while it's a huge disappointment to not be able to compete, she can still feel connected.
I've been riding virtually with Olympians from different countries. I can train from my home gym and share videos on Instagram and see what other people are doing.
70% of U.S. Olympians say they were in favor of postponing the Summer Games in Tokyo the first time the Summer Games have been delayed. Coming up on 25 minutes past the hour next at noon, part two of our conversation with Aaron Duvall at Victory Highway Wesleyan Church in Painted Post, New York. Family Life Sarah Harnish recently sat down with the pastor to talk about the coronavirus and how it's impacting the local church. Let's listen in.
What if this goes on for a while? 4 months, 5 months? Can you see churches getting hurt? Do you think that congregations may not come back? They get comfortable watching church at home?
I mean, financially, yeah, it's going to hurt. It already has for a lot of churches, especially churches that are smaller and just don't have a steady source of income, or larger churches that have gone into tremendous debt and don't have a financial backing. And this could very well change things forever. Yeah. But honestly, I mean, it may sound crazy, but I'm excited. Not about the crisis, not about the sickness, not about the possible church closing. But I've seen a creativity that is stirring in the local church that's absolutely amazing. There's a unity, people helping one another, praying with one another, online Bible studies and prayer groups. People are really taking ownership of their faith journeys. There may not be a church building, but the church is still gathering. The church is still meeting, and the church is still doing its work. We are still gathering, whether it's online or in smaller groups, and we are still being sent out. Whether that's digitally or in personal means. And I think that's an exciting time for the church.
Let's see the good. This is really, really hard on every person that's listening. I mean, we've got over 40 million children sent home, and now all these parents are instant homeschoolers trying to figure that out, and the droves of people that no longer can go into work, that have to try to do it from home with their kids there. How can they turn the situation, being at home, even just losing that physical community of church, into something that's good? Can you speak into that fear?
Sure. My wife, Shara, was diagnosed with breast cancer about 2 years ago. And one of the verses that we clung to is in Psalm 46. And it just says, God is our refuge and strength. He's our ever-present help in time of trouble. And we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountain falls into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. And that's just something we clung to. For many of us right now, the earth feels like it's giving way. Job status is up in the air. Family members are sick. There's this sort of unsettling uncertainty. I know the one who created the mountains. I know the one that commands the winds and the waves and even walks on the waters. He doesn't promise us our life's going to be without trouble. Everyone's life has trouble. Being a Christian or not doesn't change that. What he does promise us is that he is present. And for me, the comfort comes from knowing that in every situation, God is there and he's walking it with me, and nothing takes him by surprise. And he will continue to move forward with us during this time and after it.
You've got that in your heart. The next step is to take that and place that message into somebody else's heart. So how can the church be the church with no church? The church building got taken away. The building is gone. So we talked a little bit about the simple act of just sharing the sermon. If you're watching with your family and your living room couch and you have gotten your laptop out and HDMI cabled that sucker to the TV and you're going all high tech in your living room with your family, maybe just taking that sermon and just putting it on your Facebook page, tagging people in it.
Absolutely.
You've been speaking to, you know, some of the other things that I've seen are Google Hangout, e-groups. What types of ideas do you have for the congregation to get what was inside those four walls outside of the four walls now that it's more accessible?
Absolutely. You know, for me, one of the things I had to realize, and this was hard for me because I'm a very relational speaker. I like to talk to people. The internet is simply amplifying the message. The TV is simply amplifying the message. It's a tool. The same spirit is doing the work. What they're seeing and experiencing through an internet service, he's there. For some of our classes, we're talking about using Zoom. I wish I'd have bought Zoom stock a few years back just to be able to meet with one another on that. Facebook groups, you can come together, talk about, for us, talk about the sermon. We give questions every week about the sermon, about the passage, for our community groups to discuss. We put those up on our Facebook page. Calling one another and talking about, especially for those who don't have the internet, hey, you know, you got the DVD, watch it. How can we talk to you about this? I think coming out of the four walls, maybe the best thing the church has ever experienced. How do we send ourselves out from here is something we're always talking about. How do we leave this place and be the church? There's this sort of theological idea of the visible and invisible church, and I'm not using it properly, but the visible church may not be meeting right now, but the invisible church is out doing the work of God.
I think you're even not just speaking to the people that are listening that maybe are a little discouraged that they can't physically see faces in the church building right now, but maybe to some of the smaller churches that are out there that are like, all right, my whole world is upside down. I'm not really sure how to do this. And those that want to share, but maybe evangelism is a very scary thing. So you've hit on a lot of different things and a lot of different ideas on this. And I pray that it's just a huge blessing to those that are listening. So thank you for giving up your time. I'm just going to end with this. Why do you do what you do? Why do you get out there every single day? You could have just taken 2 months and put your feet up and waited for everything to calm down and had everybody come back to church. But no, it's like, hey, we're going on Facebook Live today. You could have sat back and just rested. But there's that heart of evangelism in you, which I think is getting sent out. I really think that people are picking up on this because we're seeing so much more sharing out there. Why do you do it and why do they need to do it?
We have the greatest message in the world. It's a message of hope that is more than anything else can give. I just saw a group of celebrities that were singing the John Lennon song Imagine together. It's the only hymn they have, and it's this idea of imagine there's no heaven, imagine there's no hell, and I'll be happy. I listened to that, and I thought, what a lack of hope that if the coronavirus takes over and this is all that we have. But we have a message that's so much more than that. The supply is not the issue. You look at these grocery stores, supply isn't the issue. We know we have food supplies. We know we have toilet paper supplies. Distribution's the issue. Trying to get it to the right places. And I think in the church, we have the supply. We have an endless supply of power and a message of hope through God. Our issue has always been the distribution. How do we get it to people that need it? We just took this as an opportunity to say we are going to use this as a way to distribute hope in any way that we can.
Good stuff. That is Aaron Duvall, Victory Highway Wesleyan Church in Painted Post, New York, talking with our very own Sarah Harnish about the church's response to this global health emergency.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The storm system that delivered rain and snow yesterday has departed, catching a break this afternoon. The next weathermaker is on the way for tomorrow. It'll pass south, bringing rain and snow into Pennsylvania, maybe grazing parts of New York with a bit of the same as well. Milder air, but showers as we head toward the weekend. The call for this afternoon, cloudy skies prevail, but those clouds will start to break in some areas for a little sunshine, with high temperatures ranging in the 40s for most. Then tonight, broken clouds, some starlight, low temps upper 20s to the mid-30s. Tomorrow, cloudy, periods of snow and rain in Pennsylvania. A bit of rain or snow perhaps in New York State with high temperatures in the mid-30s to the middle 40s. Milder Thursday, variably cloudy with a shower or two, and high temperatures in the 50s and lower 60s.
All righty, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. Finally, at noontime, all over the globe, 1.5 billion people have been told to stay home to help stop the spread of the coronavirus. Correspondent Pam Coulter has the story of one group celebration that took on a different look.
While we're all sheltering in place, families have to get creative in celebrating big milestones. Alfred Vicoli of Pawtucket, Rhode Island, turned 95 on Monday, but with 8 children, 14 grandchildren, and 15 great-grandchildren, his family realized they couldn't have the traditional birthday party.
You do what we have to do to make things happen, and this is what we're doing.
So instead, they held a parade. Dozens of family members and friends in cars decorated with banners and balloons drove down Vicoli Street singing Happy Birthday. Tears came to his eyes, and he said it. It's great to have family and friends.
For something like this, it's fabulous.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Pam. That's Pam Coulter reporting. That is the world we live in this Tuesday. For continuing coverage of the coronavirus pandemic and the response to this health crisis, keep it tuned to your favorite Family Life station all day long today. Updates with our very own Bob Price. For now, I'm Bill Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.